Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Clint, and here with my co-host and mission team leader, Dr. Sam Roberts. Dr. Sam, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's football season.
Amen. Go Hawks.
Hey, at the time that we're recording, expectations are pretty low for our Razorbacks. Yeah. But hopefully, by now, at the time this drops, we have reason to celebrate. If not, then we may need to reach out to Live in Well Counseling as Razorback fans. But, hey, we've talked a lot about life cycles in a church. Mm-hmm. Summer, we just came out of summer. It's often student-focused. We got VBS. We've got camp. The fall, though, is a time of the year when churches look at fall events or harvest events. Yeah. Where there's more of an evangelistic and outreach focus. So in this episode, we're going to look at some of these events and then wrap up with some takeaways I think we can apply to all fall or harvest events. Now, as I look back in my time as a pastor and my time growing up, a fall festival was a huge part of the fall. But I also did other things, did a crusade, a harvest day, other small events. Dr. Sam, your time, how did you use the fall?
Yeah, let me just share a couple of things that come to mind that we did in Stuttgart, and of course Stuttgart, like a lot of our state, an agri, community, and so during the fall in an agricultural community is a very important time. They're preparing for harvest. Harvest is coming in. That's the lifeblood of that community. And so we designed a couple of activities over the last few years that I was there to really say thank you to those who were in the agri community, to our farmers, you know, a special prayer emphasis or a meal that would be delivered to them. We also, 1 year is an incredible event that we had at the beginning of the harvest season when those who would drive the trucks into the mills. We had the two mills there, Producers and Riceland. And we set up at one of those mills, had a grill out there. We were grilling lunch. And those guys, when they bring a truck in, they get a number, they park, and it may be a while they're there. Yeah. And so we would flag them down just a little bit as they were coming into the parking lot. Have a meal ready for them and just say a quick prayer with them, of safety as they travel, knowing that, agriculture can be a dangerous occupation as well. They're on the road a lot. We also, one of the most incredible events that we were able to have toward end of the summer, beginning of the fall, as school was coming back into session, we rented the city pool. May have been the last event that they had before closing it down, for the season. And we invited every member of our police force and their family and the firefighters and their families to come. And the pool was theirs. And we had someone on site grilling for them, providing meals. We were able to mingle and have conversations. It was an incredible outreach event.
Well, those are awesome ideas, and it ties back into one of our first episodes of knowing your community.
Exactly.
Knowing and loving, but knowing the needs that are there. And so I don't think there's anything we could say is a cookie cutter approach for the fall.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's knowing what opportunities are in your community. Mm-hmm. And I think every event, every ministry that we do gives opportunities to share the gospel. And in some cases, it's a one-on-one just building relationships that maybe in that first conversation, the gospel's not shared, but it's about building relationships and looking for future opportunities. And so we know as we look at fall events, you know, a crusade carries the connotation that a church is evangelistic. A fall festival may look at something that's it's fun, but it's also a great way just to get to know unchurched people and share the gospel. So let's look at some fall events that can be used to missionize, to carry on mission work. First one we're going to talk about is host a tailgate party before a high school football game. Now, if you're in a town,
Friday night,
mm-hmm. if you're in a town with a football team, Friday night is huge. If you're in some, you know, toward the end of the year, it may not be as big, but there's great excitement at the beginning. And tailgate parties are a great way to get out and connect with a wide range of people in your community. Now, it depends upon the space you have and your relationship with the school and key people there. But you could either tailgate outside the football stadium or you could host the party at your church or somewhere else beforehand. Either way, free food, games, and music are a great way to draw people in and connect. Maybe you got a tent set up with your church's logo or just a banner. You've got staff and volunteers wearing specific T-shirts so that the people will know who to connect with. They're interested in learning more about your church. But it's just connecting with people and building relationships.
Yeah, that's so good. And one thing I want to remind our listeners of is something we've talked about before when we've talked about community missions events. You know, a lot of times when we use that word event, some people take it as a negative connotation. There's some negative baggage that goes along with that, and we shouldn't be so event-driven in the church. I love events, and events are not for the purpose of getting more people into your church. You know, events are for the purpose of getting your church into the community.
That's right.
And building those relationships. Because in the church, and the longer we're a member of a church, the more we tend to hang with people just like ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's our church folks. It's our small group. Those are the people we go out to eat with. Those are the people we have over for a meal, you know, at the house or we may do some activity with. And so events are designed to intentionally get people from the church into the community, to know the community. Now, closely aligned what you said with the tailgate party is feeding the football team before a game. And if you don't have a football team, plug into another sport. You know, if your community doesn't have that football team, I guarantee you basketball is huge, and it's year-round activity,
that's right.
Yep. You know, where you can get plugged in there. But when we're talking about providing meals for a team, a football team, or maybe that's a band, or maybe that's the cheerleaders, or maybe that's all of them, they usually don't leave the school between the end of the school game and the game. Someone feeds the team. So volunteer your church to do that. It doesn't cost a lot of money, you know, to do that. And I would say if that's something you do, then check with the coaching staff as far as what kind of food.
Yeah.
You know, you may not want to do a taco bar, a taco salad, you know, those sort of things. There's foods they say, no, stay away from this, but this would be something good for us. It's common, too, that a youth minister or another representative from the church could be allowed to give a devotional as part of that meal to be able to share the gospel. And then don't forget the importance when the band is practicing or the football team is practicing. Bring drinks.
Yeah.
Check with the coaching staff. Hey, can we supply Gatorade, you know, to the team? Can we bring popsicles?
Yeah.
You know, something along those lines. Those are always welcome, and it gives you just the opportunity to possibly build relationships with the staff and with the students to be an avenue to share the gospel.
That's right. And I guarantee you, if there's a coach in your community that if you would volunteer to feed, it's going to take something off of his plate.
Exactly.
And so it's great. It's a easy win, I believe.
And take money, give them additional money in their budget
that's
that
right.
they don't have to spend on that meal.
Yeah, that's right. Another opportunity for the fall is to offer free leaf raking services. I know there's a lot of people in your community that may not be able to keep up with the extra yard maintenance that comes with all the leaves that come with the fall. This could be senior adults or those who are ill or injured. It could be single parents, all who could likely use some help in raking leaves. So you just simply recruit a team from your church to commit to volunteering for this. You even do it several times throughout the season.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know why you're doing that? Maybe you've got some folks that can't rake, but so why don't you drop off some baked goods, some fall baked goods at each house just as an extra touch, and it'll give your volunteers a chance to connect a little more with the people that they're serving.
Yeah, and we've talked about school, you know, with the football and what we can do with meals. Let's not forget about teachers as well. There are all kinds of ways that as a church you can encourage your local school teachers. And an easy way to do that is just dropping off breakfast. I mean, check with the administrator in the building to make sure someone else is not doing that, but offer to do that. Bring coffee and donuts and fruit, you know, some kind of a breakfast for the teachers before they get started in the day. And if you can get a list of teachers in each school, then have your church staff or your volunteers write them a thank you note. Personalize that thing. Put your name on it. It's a nice gesture at the start of each semester. And if your church is able, sponsor a breakfast once a month or a lunch once a month. It's a great way to consistently show teachers that they're appreciated. One of the things that I've noticed with, we have a lot of churches that do serve their local school system.
Yeah.
And one that I was in recently has a ministry they call Apples for Teachers. It's a cool idea. And basically what they do, they have teachers kind of register with them, and they have an apple, and on that apple is a QR code. And that QR code is a link to that teacher's Amazon wish list.
Huh, wow.
Those things, you know, Martha was a teacher for many years. I can tell you there's not a lot of money that's provided for supplies, resources that they need in the classroom. A very small amount of money is provided. And with a lot of school districts, there may not be any money provided, you know, for that. And that comes out of a teacher's pocket. And so, you know, having an Amazon wish list of saying, hey, here are some books or here are some supplies that we need, and then linking that with a QR code that your members can take that apple, scan that code, see that complete list, and go and purchase an item or two, and it is delivered to that teacher, and you can even put a note in there, you know, hey, praying for you. So great way to encourage local school teachers. One thing we did at Stuttgart, at the end of the summer, we worked with the administrator in a elementary school, had a list of classrooms where the teacher wanted to have a wall, an accent color on a wall. You know, most of our schools, if they're a little older, they're pretty sterile. You know, it's institutionalized. It's the same color throughout the whole building. And so we thought, hey, adding a little color, they gave us the freedom to do this. We had 20, 25 classrooms where a teacher said, hey, we would love to have, you know, this particular color. And we had the administrators choose what those colors could be.
Yeah.
You know, there were four or five they could choose from. We took some evening times before school started to paint those classrooms. And then at the beginning of school, we had, you know, lunch, breakfast, whatever for the teachers. But they knew that was a gift from the local church. And you talk about connections that we made with teachers and just appreciation that we received from those teachers to know that there was a church that cared enough, you know, that they wanted that teaching environment to be conducive to learning. Yeah. Just another great idea. But connect with your local church, local school.
That's right. And at this point, you know, school's been in session about a month, maybe a little longer than a month for some districts. And I assure you there are some local schools teachers that need encouraged.
Exactly.
And you don't have to wait to Teacher Appreciation Week. I think just as you're appreciating them throughout the year goes a long way. Hey, another opportunity is a block party with the pumpkin patch or a block party at a pumpkin patch. Mm. Now, block parties remain an effective way to connect with your community, to share the gospel, see people saved. Would love to help you in that if you are interested. But the fall offers an opportunity to kind of take your block party to another step. People love going to pumpkin patches. And, I mean, they're time of year, they're getting ready.
Yeah,
and I don't get it, but mamas love to take all the pictures at pumpkin patches. And so maybe rather than making them drive, you know, hour or more to get to a pumpkin patch, depending upon where you're located, why don't you get some pumpkins, set up your own little pumpkin patch at a block party, and let them come take pictures, and every kid gets a pumpkin. Or if you have a pumpkin patch close by, ask that business if you can – come and do a block party and kind of expand what they're offering that day. And if you're able, why don't the church cover the cost for every kid to get their pumpkin? So I think it's just something to explore, opportunities of how you could take a traditional block party and kind of take it to the next level due to what people are interested in the fall.
Yeah, and one thing that I've seen some churches do with that, if they have that fall festival, that block party with pumpkins available, maybe they have an activity site set up where that kid chooses the pumpkin, brings it over to this table, and they can decorate, they can paint that pumpkin.
Yeah.
They've got individuals there with designs that can help them, you know, where that kid personalizes that pumpkin for themselves.
Yeah.
And another great idea is to host a community Thanksgiving meal. That's a great way to reach out to those in your church and also in your community who may be alone for the holidays. So as you get to know your community, who is there that lives there that doesn't have family close? You know, they've moved there for education purposes. Maybe they're college students. They've moved there for job, for employment. They don't have mom and dad, you know, to help with the kids. They are there by themselves, and they're unable to travel. Maybe it's military members. Maybe it's folks that, you know, their family has moved away, and this is an elderly person or elderly couple, and their family doesn't come to them for one reason or another. So show hospitality. Host a community Thanksgiving meal in your church. Invite them to come be part of that.
Yeah, and have people from your church families that are willing for that to be their Thanksgiving meal,
yeah,
themselves,
exactly.
So that they're participating in that.
Good stuff.
You know, many of these ministries are what I refer to as bridge building ministries. They open the door for future ministry opportunities.
Yeah.
So it may, yes, you may can be sharing the gospel in these opportunities, but a lot of it is just building relationships, building bridges. So, for instance, you go into the school, and I had an instance where we kind of revamped the teacher's lounge in a school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a teacher's lounge is often the most forgotten place in a school. And so the church went in, and they had a couch that had come from the youth room. You know, of course, it came from the youth room when somebody got tired of it. So it was all dilapidated, and able to update their little love seat in there and get them a new refrigerator that actually cooled drinks. And anyway, painted the walls like you're talking about, just spruced it up, and then left some goodies on the table, stocked the refrigerator with water and Coke and Sprite and whatever else they wanted, and then left a note like you're talking about. And, you know, comes the time when a teacher goes through a difficult time. I can think of the instance of a teacher going through a divorce, and she had nobody to turn to. And so she walked into the church and said, "I'm here because you guys came to us."
Wow.
And you told us, wow, if there was anything that you could do for us to please let us know. And I'm here because I don't know what to do. I need help. And it was an opportunity to offer counseling, but to pour into this lady and her family and to help her go through that journey. So, Dr. Sam, we could spend all day sharing stories, yeah, but exactly. How have you seen the benefit of bridge building ministries?
Yeah, the same sort of thing there, Clint. Each of those activities I outlined earlier, whether it was with the city pool and renting that and just being there and being present, I can't tell you the number of conversations I had after that event with police officers, with firefighters who were going through some difficult struggles in their life. They didn't have a church.
Yeah.
They didn't have a pastor. They made the phone call. They stopped by to see me, or when I went to the police department just to check in with the guys, someone would call me over into an office and we had that discussion,
Yeah.
I love that term, bridge building ministries. It just reinforces what we said earlier, that we do these events not for the purpose of getting people into our church, but for getting the church into the community. And when the church is salt and light in the community, then people respond. They call upon the church when there are times in their life that they need somebody and they don't know where to turn.
That's right.
Same thing with teachers. We had that opportunity. Several of our teachers in the congregation had opportunities to have connections with fellow teachers that they would never have had. Those discussions would not have happened about what's going on in their family or struggles in a classroom if we had not opened that door, built that bridge, that allowed the conversations to occur.
Yeah. And again, I think that's what each one of these things we've mentioned and many other things you could think of, just give opportunities for future ministry.
Yeah.
And exactly. So it's getting outside the walls of your church, getting your people into the lives of the community, and then you will see the community respond in many ways. Hey, let's look at the big event, a fall festival. It's been called many things, but one thing it's not called is Halloween, right? Many churches started fall festivals. Here they come. Yep. We almost made it a year. Many churches started fall festivals as an alternative to Halloween.
Yeah.
Then some still held the event, but on Halloween, they wanted their families to be able to go trick-or-treating, so they had it at a different night.
Mm-hmm.
And as a pastor, I loved a fall festival, or whatever we were going to call it. And I held it on Halloween evening, or whatever night was trick-or-treating, if it was on a different night in the community, because that's when people are in the rhythm of putting on costumes and going places to get candy. And so this was a stop for many families as they were going trick-or-treating, that they would swing by the church or later it was held outside at a park. But it was just part of their rhythm. The focus was to connect with the unchurched and believed that they were more likely to attend an event at the church that was at the same time. So they were probably less likely to get dressed up and come to something if it wasn't in their normal rhythm.
Sure. And they would come by and they would spend a few minutes there. But even in those few minutes, you had the opportunity of getting to know them, gathering some information for follow-up ministry with them.
Yeah.
One event like that a lot of our churches participate in is Trunk or Treat.
Yes.
I mean, and it's held the night that local community does their trick-or-treating. And they're in the parking lot of the church or wherever the designated area is. People will decorate the trunks of their cars in certain themes, and they will wear costumes as well. And kids just walk through the parking lot. You hand out the treats, maybe hand out, a gospel tract along with that. But it's a great opportunity, you know, of those regular rhythms. We've talked about that before in an episode early on about calendar and knowing those regular rhythms of your community and leveraging those. This is a great way of leveraging something that every family with kids, they are going to go out on Halloween and trick-or-treat.
That's right.
So have that fall festival at the church. Have trunk-or-treating, some alternative there. And maybe it's not, you're not doing this to draw kids away from trick-or-treating in the neighborhoods, but it's just one stop on their night.
Yeah. Yeah, I think originally, again, it was, the idea was do it at the church. It's safer, and, mm-hmm. and you know, it was the alternative to. I don't know now that it's much as much an alternative as it is an addition to the trick-or-treating.
Exactly.
And it's great. I mean, it does give opportunities. You're going to see people and in ways you don't see them throughout the year if they come dressed up. But some of the folks you may not see at any other event, your normal rhythm of life may not intersect with them except during that time every year.
Yeah, and maybe if you know that rhythm in your community of when those kids and families go out, you know, to trick-or-treat door-to-door, maybe you schedule yours for an hour earlier, you know, and you have it going on. That's one of the first stops they make, and then off they go to the rest of their evening.
Yeah. Now, I do know of some churches that have stopped hosting anything mm-hmm. at their church on Halloween so that their people are home to welcome trick-or-treaters, and they're giving out invites to their church service. Again, maybe they're even giving out a gospel tract. You know, I had the thought that if I were to go back and pastor again, I might would do that.
Yeah.
But then I go back to, I love the fall festival and all the people that were there.
Oh, yeah,
it would be a difficult decision to make. But for, I know for some churches, it happened during COVID. It happened almost by mistake that they could not host anything as far as a large event. And so they gave out all their candy and information to people in their church, and their church people had more conversations and engagement with trick-or-treaters at their own house. So I know some of those churches may host a fall festival on another night, and they have such a history with it that unchurched people attend. You know, again, there's not a cookie-cutter approach. There's not what's perfect there, but it's finding out what is the need in your community to engage with unchurched people through the fall, and how can you use a fall festival, a trunk-or-treat, you know, whatever you want to call it, as an avenue to engage with the people in your community.
Yeah, and that just emphasizes what we have said over and over and over again on this podcast. Be intentional. Be intentional. We talk about that a lot. If we want to get to know people and build relationships, to be able to invite them to church and share the gospel as the opportunity comes up, then have your people ready to initiate those conversations with people. If the purpose is to share the gospel and call people to respond, then be sure that it's done in a correct way, a biblical way. So be intentional, whatever these events are. You're not doing it just for the event. There's an intentionality that somehow we are going to use this to share the gospel with individuals. We're going to build the bridge of meeting people, of developing relationships. There's that intentionality that is there to share the gospel.
And I would just go ahead and kind of put a little caveat to all of our preacher friends that are listening. You don't have to preach
at
the event.
Yeah,
you know, but be prepared. Again, be intentional to share the gospel. Figure out how that's going to happen. Is it going to be as a large group? Are you going to equip your people to do that as they're having conversations? Mm-hmm. So you're going to give them the training and the tools necessary. Yeah, I think that's just a conversation as you're planning and you're you know, thinking about the layout of your event and the activities of your event and everything else that comes with it. Also plan for how you're going to share the gospel and plan for follow-up.
Yeah, exactly.
Be honest, I wish I would have learned this earlier. because always, again, had a huge response at fall festivals. And we would ask people at registration if they were connected to a local church. And, you know, I would leave that event with a huge stack of people that were prospects, people who had made decisions. And I thought I had to do all the follow-up. And so I would start, and then about 2 weeks later, I would find that stack of cards on my desk somewhere, or maybe even longer than that. And so I want to encourage you to build a follow-up team, have some folks that are ready to begin follow-up. So to do follow-up, you got to know who was there. So have a registration. I encourage you to give away a door prize as an incentive for people to register, and then ask them if they're connected to a local church. Mm-hmm. And when you share the gospel with folks and you call them to respond, be sure you have a way to record decisions and then quickly begin your follow-up after your event. You probably have, some say 72 hours, others say about 48 hours for effective follow-up.
Yeah.
So just think about when your event is. If you wait until the next time everybody's together, say on a Sunday, that window of opportunity may have closed. So as you go in intentionally, committed to share the gospel, and intentional in your follow-up.
Good points there. Hey, hopefully we've shared some things that that you can take and you can use as you begin your fall planning. I want to also draw your attention to another article, resources available through the Mission Team website. That is 101 or more ways to serve local. It's just full of ideas similar to some of these that we've shared. Some of those may be spring type events, but you could take that same idea, turn it into a fall event very easily. Maybe we could, Clint, include that on show notes as well, just a link to that article.
Yes.
Please give us a like, write a review. And by all means, if you're enjoying listening, or even if you don't enjoy listening, hey, share this with your friends. We would love to build the audience that we have. So share this with them. Invite them to join us. Every 2 weeks, we'll come with a new episode of how we can do the work of missions on this podcast named Missionize. If you have any questions, any thoughts, you can contact us at missionize@absc.org. That comes directly to me and Clint, to our attention, and we will respond quickly to questions that you have, or maybe that's just a thought you want to share with us for a future episode. Until next time, God bless.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.